WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I hope your Christmas shopping hasn't left you too exhausted for our next interview. My guest has dedicated his life to making shopping fun, an experience that combined fashions from around the world with theater, food, and surprise. Marvin Traub was the head of Bloomingdale's from 1969 to 1991. He wanted his store to have a personality, to be sophisticated, smart, and chic. He succeeded in turning this department store into a stop for tourists from around the world. Even Queen Elizabeth made the pilgrimage when she was in Manhattan. Traub has written a new book about creating and marketing the Bloomingdale's mystique. It's called Like No Other Store. Bloomingdale's didn't have the same cachet back in 1950 when Traub started working there. It was still the kind of department store that had a bargain basement. In fact, that's where Traub started.
When I joined Bloomingdale's, it was the assistant to the head of the basement, and I had charge of the bargain tables, which we used to have at the subway doors. And the other assistant was a fellow named Mel Jacobs. And in order to build up traffic, because when customers are going through the tables looking for bargains, other customers are attracted. Mel and I used to go into the office, put on our hats and coats, go out and dig through the piles of shirts or pants or sweaters like we were looking for gold. And when you do that, other people come join you looking for the same thing. And then when we had a crowd, the two of us would walk away and let the customers continue to shop at a feverish pitch. Now, Mel, of course, later on went on to become chairman of Saks Fifth Avenue. So I always felt that was pretty good training for the chairman of Saks and the chairman of Bloomingdale's.
Really? So, okay.
So that was a Bloomingdale's of a totally different world. In 1950, the store had the air conditioning above the third floor was we used to open the windows. The housewares department had wooden floors and just tables piled with pots and pans. And it was known as a place in New York to go to buy the uniforms for your maid.
What a change.
Sure.
Let's talk about some of the innovations that were created at Bloomingdale's. Why don't we start with boutiquing, the idea, for instance, in the women's department, instead of all the skirts and all the pants being on one rack, you've got little boutiques there arranged according to designer.
Right. Well, you know, we cannot claim total credit for being the only store in the country to do boutiques. Obviously, a Bendel had a beginning someplace at about a similar time, but we really kind of pioneered the concept and made it work. And we made it work really starting for a very good reason. We were not on Fifth Avenue. The Fifth Avenue stores were tied to the great names of Europe. And we sought out a way of getting distinction. And there was a whole emerging group of young American designers then, a Ralph Lauren, a Calvin Klein, a Halston. And we began to feature their products in separate shops. And at the same time in Europe, there was a shift away from what was called the couture to the ready-to-wear collections, where there were also some emerging younger European designers who were not part of doing collections, like the Missonis and Ngaro. And as a way of highlighting all of these designers, we began to give each of them their own shops. And that gave them an immediate presence in the store. It made a place where customers could come and find things they did not find in other places.
You got rid of a bunch of departments when you took over Bloomingdale's. You got rid of major appliances, wallpaper, religious articles, televisions. Why'd you get rid of them?
Well, there's some things, if you want to be unique and special, it's very hard. And we really couldn't tell the customer that we had any different television than other people. We had that pet supplies. It was very hard for us to be unique and special. Cameras, similarly. So they just did not fit in major appliances with our image, particularly. And we needed the space for things that we could do better with. So we had to be willing to close up those that didn't work.
While you were CEO, Bloomingdale's developed new branches in suburban shopping malls around the country. How'd you like having stores in shopping malls? You were used to a store in Midtown Manhattan at a wonderful location.
Terry, you're asking a very knowledgeable question, because the management before me, the first couple of stores they built in Bergen County and Fresh Meadows, and even in Short Hills, New Jersey, were meant to be freestanding stores. They were uncomfortable with malls. They didn't think they were upscale enough for Bloomingdale's. I sensed that people like to go to malls, and it was absolutely appropriate for us to be there. So we were very pleased to go to King of Prussia in Philadelphia, or to see our Bergen County store become part of a mall, or Chestnut Hill Mall in Boston, and ultimately become anchor stores ourselves in a mall in Chicago or in the malls in Florida that we were in. So I think the mall is a way of life for American shoppers, and I think Bloomingdale's is absolutely fine in good quality malls, and it worked out that way.
Well, if you're just joining us, my guest is Marvin Traub. For 41 years, he was at Bloomingdale's. He was the CEO for many years, but he started in the basement. And he's written a new book called Like No Other Store, The Bloomingdale's Legend. So we're going to take a short break and then talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Marvin Traub is my guest, former CEO of Bloomingdale's and author of a new book about his life and about the store. You've been out of Bloomingdale's since 91. And now you're in home shopping and infomercials. I mean, you're still merchandising things, but you're using these new TV-oriented ways of doing it. And I have to say, you know, if Bloomingdale's is the height of class in consumerism, then you'd think of home shopping and infomercials as being the height of tackiness. I wonder how you reconcile the two approaches. What do you
think? No, I've started Marvin Traub Associates, and I'm involved with the 5 consulting clients and a half a dozen businesses that we have an equity in. But one of the first things I did when I left Federated, our parent company, was to go visit QVC. I actually did it with Diane von Furstenberg. And I was incredibly struck with the chord that home shopping strikes with consumers. I sat in a control booth and watched a daytime TV actress named Susan Lucci talk about hair care. And she was on 3 times over the weekend, and every time someone called in and said, "Susan, I loved your shampoo," the computers went bonkers. And over that weekend of the 3 appearances, she sold $1.2 million worth of hair care.
Wow.
Now, I know that Bloomingdale's couldn't sell that much in a year. So I try to understand a little bit the appeal of electronic shopping.
Explain it to me a little bit more, because I've never bought anything by television, and I don't think I know anybody who has.
Well, there's a whole generation out there that is rigging up and is using that, Terry, and the appeal is, first, the QVC, which is Westchester, Pennsylvania, is on 168 hours a week. So if you're home, you're alone, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, you can turn on your television, and there's your friend who is selling something. And I do believe that people relate very much to the personalities of the announcers, who on QVC are fairly soft sell, but come across warm and friendly and invited into people's living rooms. So the women who largely women who shop that way, feel an attachment to the station. On the other hand, it is much easier to have someone talk about the qualities of a product who is professional, and you can focus in on a close-up of a ring or the way a camera works, and you can explain it actually better. And the service typically is very good. When you call in, they have operators standing by, and they make the whole transaction a friendly one.
Have you bought something on home shopping, you know, on any of the home shopping channels, so you get a sense of what it's like to be the consumer?
Well, the honest answer to that is no, but I helped put together Diane von Furstenberg's program. Uh-huh. And I brought down another author named Barbara Taylor Bradford. And a week ago Sunday, I was on QVC discussing Like No Other Store.
Oh, no, you sold your book on it.
Yes, absolutely. And a listener called up from New York to tell me how much she liked Bloomingdale's and how she was looking forward to reading my book. I'm sure that helped sell copies.
How many copies did you move?
They sold almost 1,000 in less than 15 minutes.
That's amazing.
And yes, they've done better with other authors, too. Part of the secret is you have to sign every copy.
A little tendonitis, maybe.
Absolutely. No, I'd signed 1,000 copies before I went down.
Wow. So now let's move to infomercials. You're doing infomercials also. What kind of product does well on infomercials?
Well, infomercials is probably the place with the lowest batting average of success. The infomercial industry themselves are not convinced whether it's 1 out of 5 that succeeds, 1 out of 6, or 1 out of 10. And what has succeeded best in the past have been things like juicers. Mr. Juiceman created an incredible number because he could demonstrate and talk about the products.
Uh-huh.
Some cosmetic products have done well where people could talk about the value. We made an infomercial for Thai foods with Lucy Arnaz, where it did not work, but the foods themselves sold very well in stores all around the country, and perhaps somewhat driven by the early infomercials. We are forming a new company with Iman, the model, creating cosmetics for women of color that will be sold at retail and through infomercials and on electronic marketing, because I absolutely believe in it for the future.
Now, I have to go into your background a little bit. Your parents were both in retail. Your mother became fashion director at Bonwit Teller. Your father was an executive vice president of Lily of France, which is a women's undergarment manufacturer. So I have to know what it was like to have a father in the bra and underwear business, especially when you were kind of coming of age. You know, those are such exotic things to young men.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Terry. People ask me what my father did, and I'd say he was a manufacturer and try to let it go at that. But I did grow up hearing retailing discussed at the dinner table a lot and had a chance to know some of the great retailers of an earlier era. And it struck me as a fascinating business.
What's some of the best advice your parents gave you about retail?
Be a doctor or a lawyer. They never encouraged me to be a retailer. I guess like most parents in the Upper West Side of New York, they thought I should be a professional. But I liked retailing.
Well, one last question. What are you wearing today?
What am I wearing today? I am wearing a polo. Houndstooth check suit.
This is Ralph Lauren polo.
Ralph Lauren.
A good friend of yours.
Yes, absolutely. And a navy shirt with a red foulard tie, French cuffs. I usually do white collar, which is typically of the way I am dressed. And by coincidence or not, it's all polo, although I do occasionally wear Armani or Gives and Hawks. I just like the feeling of polo clothes, aside from the fact Ralph's one of my clients.
Well, there you go.
But anyway, by the way, I'm dressed as if I'm going on television. I hadn't thought about it that way.
I hope we haven't disappointed you.
Not in the least. It's been really, I can't tell you, Terry, you've asked great questions and brought back lots of memories of the store, and I've enjoyed it very much.
Well, good. I enjoyed it, too. Happy holidays.
Thank you, and happy holiday to you as well.
Marvin Traub is the former CEO of Bloomingdale's and author of the new book, Like No Other Store. This is Fresh Air.